You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Judith Sears-Poisson.
A week ago today, Wisconsinites woke up to find out that in a last-minute addition to the state budget, Republicans on the Joint Finance Committee had approved changes that would significantly weaken the state's open records law.
The media responded with heavy coverage, and lawmakers and activist groups across the political spectrum spoke out against the open records plan. By Friday, the governor's spokeswoman said changes would be made to the proposal, and on Saturday, lawmakers and the governor said they would drop the plan.
The story doesn't quite end there, though. GOP lawmakers and the governor said the proposed changes would instead be considered in a legislative committee. Jessica McBride is a senior journalism lecturer at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. In a recent piece at onmilwaukee.com, she argues that even though the open records plan is out of the budget, a lot of questions still remain about how it got there in the first place and its future. Jessica McBride, welcome to Central Time.
How are you? Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Well, in that piece we mentioned, you wrote that in the past you've supported Republicans on some controversial issues, things like Act 10 and school choice, other things, but you were not happy about this one. This is a very critical piece about the open records access proposal. What is it that that got you about this?
Well, you know, I never felt that open government was a partisan issue in this state, and we have a very strong open records and open meetings law, and it dates back to the foundation of our state, the founding of Wisconsin. In fact, 1 year after Wisconsin became a state, you know, the government included a requirement for county clerks and sheriffs to open, quote, for the examination of any person, end quote, all of their records. So this is a principle that I thought, you know, both sides, if you want to call it that, agreed was very important. And so that's number one. I just don't see it as a partisan issue. I see it as a good government issue that we should all be concerned about. And I wasn't the only, you know, person who sometimes supports Republicans who felt that way. What was really striking, I thought, about this debate was how it united liberals, conservatives, independents in immediate outcry. And I don't think the legislature and the governor expected that. You know, they got as much hue and cry and criticism from the right as they did from the left. I would say another point is that as a journalist, you know, I was a reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel for more than a decade. And as a journalism instructor, I've used the open records law extensively in investigative reporting. I teach it to my students. And so I just know the importance of it, not for the media per se, but for the citizenry to be informed about how decisions are made by government. I thought conservatives were against big government, you know, and to me this is sort of big government at its worst, especially the process of how it was done.
And to sum up for us, what would have changed? What kind of access would have been lost under this proposal?
Well, what they were really trying to do here was restrict what would be called deliberative process documents. So they were trying to shield from public, you know, scrutiny and view, you know, documents that reveal what was going on and how bills are made and who's influencing legislation and basically the process of government before the final outcome. And in the current laws, you know, there is some restriction allowed for what would be called notes or drafts. You know, if you're just some legislator and you're sitting at home and you're scribbling some notes that only you see, like, I can't get that as a journalist or as a citizen. But once you share that information currently, you know, that's open to public access. So I'll give you an example. All of this reporting that was going on with the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, excellent reporting about these sketchy loans and, you know, they're being, you know, proposed by members of the governor's administration, and then there were other staffers who were weighing in on them and killing some of them and approving others, and sort of all of that deliberative process and the documentary evidence about it, that's the kind of thing that they wanted to say it's secret and nobody can see. It went farther than that, but that's the core of it. They would also protect, you know, information when constituents would contact legislators. You wouldn't be able to get that kind of document anymore. And why that concerned people is, you know, who's a constituent? You know, and people brought up this case where a Republican donor had, you know, been involved in actually writing the draft of changes to child support legislation. So people say, wait a minute, you know, does he count? He's a constituent. That's the kind of thing we won't get to learn about anymore. So in a nutshell, those are the key things. There are a few other things thrown in. And a key point I think a lot of people forget, too, is this wouldn't just have applied to the legislature. It would have applied to school boards, to your local, you know, common council, to the governor's office.
We're talking to Jessica McBride. She is a senior journalism lecturer at the University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee. Our topic now, open records access in Wisconsin. This got a lot of coverage, a lot of angry reaction, as she said, across the political spectrum. An effort added in a late document into the state budget by the Joint Finance Committee, limiting access to records, a lot of different records. She was just laying out a lot of the basics there. We want to hear from you on this issue at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. What was your reaction when you heard about this effort? Is this something that worries you? Do you think that at least one of these maybe is worth considering? The idea of, in certain cases, concealing the identity of constituents who make contact with state legislators. Are you worried or hopeful that changes might be still to come in a legislative committee? 800-642-1234 is a number. And Jessica, I want to key in on that one point. One of the topics you mentioned, some lawmakers have said, hey, what we really wanted to do was protect the identity of constituents.
Right.
Some of those constituents might be Representative Nygren, who's on with us today talking about a different issue, but he said, hey, I've done heroin legislation, and some families have contacted me about that and want to keep their family story private. Would there be worthwhile changes to make to protect the identity in those cases?
Well, you know, here's where I come down on that. And first of all, this argument about constituent privacy, it was put out there. This is our driving reason for having done this. But the actual legislation went much beyond that. So I fail to see how constituent privacy, for example, relates to documents that illustrate Governor Walker's involvement in revising the Wisconsin IDEA, you know, for example. And those are documents that right now his office is involved in a lawsuit, and he's actually blocked release of those documents using the same argument the legislature was trying to pass here. I think that's fascinating. A lot of people are missing that point. Let me repeat that. The governor's office is currently blocking records using the same argument that he's running around publicly criticizing the legislature for trying to codify in state law. There's actually a lawsuit relating to those documents. So it went much farther than constituent privacy. Now, I would acknowledge that good people could have a vigorous debate about constituent privacy. I mean, the open records laws throughout our history in Wisconsin have been revised. You know, often they're revised to expand the public's rights to see documents and obtain them. In other cases, you know, there were restrictions put on the law. And so I don't think anyone would argue that we should never talk about the limits of the open records law. And maybe Representative Nygren has a point. But what I would say to that is then we should look at how flawed the process was and how they went about doing this. They put this into this notorious 999, you know, omnibus motion in the Joint Finance Committee. They did it right before a holiday, late at night, without any public input. They didn't give the public a chance to have that thorough, vigorous debate before 12 Republicans on the Joint Finance Committee decided to vote for this. So I think that's really troubling, you know, how they did that. There's sort of two issues, the principle of the matter, the content of this, and then there's the process.
Let's go to a caller now. We've got Jacob on the line with us in Burlington. Jacob, hi.
Yeah, I'm fascinated at the cloak of secrecy about the source of all this yet, and who is investigating that? I've asked my state senator, Senator Nass, to investigate that, and I think there should be some questions about censoring or slaps in the wrist for legislators on that committee who did this type of thing.
Jacob, thanks for the call. And Jessica, your piece was about unanswered questions about this. This was one of them. Who,
right.
who initiated it? Do we have an answer to that yet?
Well, we got an answer, sort of, I would say, about a day after I first wrote that piece. And I thought this was very disturbing. So initially, Governor Walker dodged the question about whether he knew about this in advance and whether he or his staff had been involved in this. He literally didn't answer the question. He said something like, well, things float around the Capitol all the time, and, you know, we're going to talk more about this on Monday. Well, then what happened is Scott Fitzgerald, the leader of the Republicans in the Senate, actually outed the governor to the media. I mean, I have to give him a lot of credit, though, for having candor. I mean, I don't understand why this was so secret in the first place. That's very troubling. And Fitzgerald came out and said, well, actually, Governor Walker and his staff, they were involved in this process. At that point in time, the governor, through a spokeswoman, came out and admitted it, that he was involved in developing this and his office was involved. Today, he went on talk radio and he called it a huge mistake. But what I thought was very interesting, first of all, he tried to cast blame back at the legislature and said, oh, it originated with them, even though, yes, my office was involved. But secondly, he said it was a huge mistake that it had been put in the budget, because obviously this is a non-fiscal matter. It was stuck in the budget in this strange process. But then he said, oh, it's good that it's going to be going to this committee. So, I mean, I just want to point out again, this is not dead. And Walker's not going as far as, say, Republican Attorney General Brad Schimmel did, who correctly, in my opinion, trashed this and said it was wrong and the open records laws are a cornerstone of democracy, you know, period. Instead, Walker's hedging. You know, he's sort of saying, well, it shouldn't have been in the budget, but I'm glad it's before this committee. So we'll see with that. In terms of who was involved in the legislature, I mean, the legislative leadership of the Assembly and the Senate have now, after a lot of hue and cry, come out and they said, yeah, we were involved, the governor was involved, it was collaborative involvement. But I don't think anyone said, you know, here's the one person who came up with this or who pushed it the most. And, you know, I thought it was shocking how some of the legislators actually were walking away from reporters and refusing to answer this question of who was behind this for days, really.
We're talking with Jessica McBride, senior lecturer of journalism at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. She says while GOP lawmakers have struck that these open records changes from the state budget, questions remain about the future of transparency in the state and the motivations behind the change in the first place.
And we'd like to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about the proposed open records changes? What do you think about last-minute additions of non-fiscal items to the state budget? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. We are continuing our conversation with Jessica McBride, senior lecturer of journalism at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. We're talking about the GOP's proposal that would have dramatically weakened open records laws in the state.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234 with your reactions and your questions or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Go right back to our callers with Jocelyn in Sheboygan. Jocelyn, hi.
Hi, good afternoon. I'm just wondering, considering all the facts that have come out since Walker was elected, I'm just wondering if this open records has anything to do with them trying to hide from the John Doe, or would it have affected the John Doe investigation?
Jocelyn, thanks for the call. Jessica McBride.
That's actually a really good point. I made this argument in my column for imilwaukee.com that this was basically the legalized version of the secret router, if you know what I'm talking about. The secret router was this scheme in the Milwaukee County Executive's office that circumvented open records law. And what it involved was deliberative process, you know, people communicating about the operations of government and the development of you know, provisions that eventually might get a vote. And it was very revealing. In fact, it led to criminal convictions against some Walker subordinates for, among other things, doing blatant campaign fundraising using tax dollars. Now, these documents came to light because the media sued and under the argument that they should have always been public record. And a judge agreed with the media and ordered the release of these. So if you remember all these John Doe document dumps, like, that's why they were released. Well, what I think's interesting is that had this provision been in place at the time, you wouldn't have gotten those documents because they would have been secret, and that's interesting. And I think it's important to note, too, that Governor Walker has never answered the question of whether he knew about the secret router. He dodged it. I mean, he actually said that it was old news, and so he wouldn't answer the question. I think it would be interesting if the media doubled back and asked him that question now, since he's going publicly and saying, you know, he cares so much about open records laws and transparency. And again, I just wanted to say that, you know, I believe in the principle of this. I mean, let me give you just a couple quick facts that I think show how embedded open governance is in Wisconsin's history. Back in 1856, there was actually a court decision that said wood and candles had to be provided so that a county clerk could light his office so that people could come in and review records. And the first statute on open records laws took place in 1917 in Wisconsin. The current laws took their present form in 1981 with, you know, extensive public input and debate. Over the years, you know, there were court decisions, there were other legislative controversies, and really the legislature in the past has erred on the side of you know, fixing problems in the open records law to allow for more transparency. I mean, there was a court decision, I'll try to boil it down, that had restricted a lot of records for a couple of years. It was called the Wozniacki decision, and it was about, you know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, something like that. The legislature stepped in, and they fixed that Wozniacki case to allow for records to be released again as they had before. So there's such a long history of this, again, in a nonpartisan or bipartisan way, that I just find it to be very surprising. And in my last question in my column was, you know, what the heck were they thinking? I think that remains an unanswered question.
And Jessica, looking to the future, Governor Walker announcing his White House bid on Monday. Briefly, as we start to wrap up, is this something that could follow him into the national spotlight?
Well, I think, you know, it would have helped him in his presidential run had they gotten this through, and I think that's revealing because obviously there's going to be a lot of open records requests, and currently are, to find out about different things that he's done or been involved in as governor. You know, there's a lot more scrutiny on him. So I guess I would say in a sense it hurts him that there was this public hue and cry because now there's going to be more transparency about how he's, you know, made decisions as governor, his involvement in things like the Wisconsin idea. And I'll give you one other example. The Department of Administration had denied open records requests. A citizen had asked for records relating to the IRIS program in Governor Walker's budget. He had proposed that be discontinued. It's a long-term care program that a lot of people use in the Milwaukee area. And they denied it using this deliberative process argument. So I think that's how it ties in. I mean, just in terms of, you know, a two-day news issue, I don't think it's going to have a big impact. I would also point out that Democrats are not always pure on this matter either. I mean, liberal legislator John Erpenbach had blacked out constituent names who had these people had written to him during the Act 10 era, and the conservative think tank, the MacIver Institute, had sued John Erpenbach to get that information.
And we'll have to leave it there. Jessica, thanks for joining us. That was Jessica McBride, senior lecturer in journalism at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, talking about state Republicans' proposal to change the state's open records access law. You can continue the conversation on the Central Time Facebook page.